Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
This morning, the message, it's not very often, well, maybe this is bad to share. It's not very often that I have notes when I preach. But this morning, the message this morning, the Lord just really laid out for me. And it was one of those times where I was like, oh, I got to sit down at the computer. Because I'm not, my handwriting, I could barely read it. Okay? So I could handwrite, okay? But typing goes a little bit better. But it was just one of those times where I sat down and I just started typing. And all of a sudden it was like, oh my word, what's going on? Like, this is just... it's coming together. It's a message, and it's something that I felt like I should share because it's something that has spoken to my life. It's something that I've gone through, not just recent, but multiple times in my life. And you don't always realize it until after the fact or until the Lord reveals to you what was going on. Can't always put a name to it, but kind of want to start out with, you know, fundamentals of faith, and what is that? What is that? What is fundamentals of faith? Now, we're in Assemblies of God Church, so we have the 16 fundamental truths. And that's a great name for those things. We believe in those as fundamental truths for faith. But I think if we look into the gospel, if we look at this, there's even more fundamentals than those fundamentals. I mean, in getting down to it and what the gospel says, and specifically the gospel. Because I think there's something going on in the world we live in. It's one of those things where it's a bittersweet, a blessing and a curse of having information there all the time, right? There's how many books that have been written, how many podcasts, how many different teachings and extra videos and people's opinions and all these different things. And that's good, you know, wise man seeks the counsel of many. You know, in Proverbs, but it's also makes for a very convoluted faith. And I think the gospel-centered life does more for us than the extra bells and whistles. Gospel-centered, focused around the simplest versions of this. Because I'm a big fan of sports. Some of you know that. But if you look at a lot of things in life, but there's an example I'm going to use, and bear with me if you don't relate to it. Hopefully you can still understand. Is, you know, Steph Curry, he's an NBA player, very popular. Guy can shoot from anywhere on the court, except for close to the hoop, usually. He's usually shooting three-pointers. And it started years and years ago where he started doing this. Well, now, if you show up to any elementary school, little kid practice in the universe, every kid is trying to shoot a half-court shot like Steph Curry. And as a coach, I'm not a coach anymore, but it will absolutely make you furious. It will drive you bonkers. The kid can't dribble, but they can shoot from half-court. The kid can't do a layup, but they can shoot from half-court. They skip step one, even step two, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and they jump all the way to what is this guy doing? Now, it's kind of cool because, you know, they have a hero and they look up to him and all this different stuff. But the point is that basketball as a whole, when you look at high school level and all these levels, they're getting worse. They're, you know, you get the outliers, good ball players that can do everything. But it's because they started on the fundamentals. They started small. I tried to learn drums once, or twice, or a few times. And I was like, you know, I watch, you know, Ben up here this morning, but I watch my sister Brittany, and you watch some really good drummers, and I've had the blessing of being able to see some, I think, some of the greatest drummers that were undiscovered of all time. In my life, I've seen some incredible drummers, and it is so cool to see what they do on the kit. I mean, you got four limbs moving at different times and things. And yeah, it's wild. But they all started with just a drum pad, two sticks, and starting off with the basics. You can't get to that without starting with this. Step one, fundamentals. You know, it's like me with golf. Don't ask me to hit the ball straight. You can ask me to hit a flop shot. If you don't know what that is, it's just you club face open and you hit it really high and fall down. It's kind of a hard, it's not a beginner shot. You can ask me to snap hook one where it goes straight left into the woods, which comes in handy when you're in the woods and you need to snap hook it out. Hey, you can ask me to do all the trick shot, the fancy, sure. But if you ask me to do the fundamental, hit the ball straight, no shot, no way. That's my problem, you know, with golf. It's a good walk ruined. But see, the point I'm making is that there's a step one and there's these fundamentals. But what seems to happen is, you know, especially when you jump into church for the first time, is not every Sunday does the pastor preach the fundamentals of faith, the gospel message. And that's okay. That's the point, is because we're overseeing the edification of the entire church. And there's a point where there's time for milk and there's time for solid food. And as a pastor on a Sunday morning, I wish I was able to speak multiple messages at once, but I'm not good at that. Okay? Now we could go through the basics all the way up into, well, then we would be here till the Packer game. which is not my plan this morning. My Texans played yesterday, so I don't have to worry about a football game today. But the fundamentals and where we start, it's hard jumping into church for the first time because you might be newer to the faith and you jump into church and they're talking about Nephilim. No, I'm just kidding. But they might be talking about all sorts of stuff way over in left field that you're like, I don't even understand who Jesus was. I don't understand anything about the gospel. All I know is that there was sin. I needed saving from it. But what does life look after that? What does the gospel continue to do in my life? And there's these basics. Well, I want to tell you something. That's why we're called to discipleship. Because there's some of you in here that you've been in the church a very long time. But there's, for some reason, there's a nervousness in discipling, reaching out to a younger believer. There's a nervousness, there's a fear, there's a I don't know what to say because I don't have the answers to their questions. And you know what? That's not all necessarily bad. I'm not criticizing that, because it might mean that in your faith, you've made peace with, I don't need the answers. I can trust the Lord. And that's not a bad thing. That's where I sat for a long time. I was like, do I need to know exactly the time frame of the earth's creation and argue over, was it 6 literal days? Was it 6,000 years? Was it? I don't care. Jesus. that's my answer. And I made peace with that. But there's newer believers that they want to have answers, and not just the creation of earth, but they have these answers, and it becomes nerve-wracking for us. And so we avoid and we trip over and stumble over ourselves to avoid them on a Sunday. Oh, sure, you want to know where the nursery is? There it is. Don't ask me questions about the Bible. Okay, see ya. Discipleship is beyond giving them a tour of the building. Discipleship is beyond taking them to lunch. Discipleship is what we are all called to do. It's not just what the pastor is supposed to do. And I'm not preaching this in order to, you know, avoid responsibility. I still need to disciple people, but it's not only on the pastor. It's up to you. Who are you discipling? Now, it becomes very easy when you become a parent, because the scripture's clear on we're supposed to teach our kids and disciple our kids. Well, that's a forced relationship. They're there every day. You do, and if you don't, then you're going to reap the repercussions of not. that's right there. But on a Sunday when we run into people and we see people and then newer believers, or, you know, they fell away and then they came back and they need discipleship, and we become scared and we become nervous. And I think where some of that comes from is our lack of understanding of the gospel. because we get thrown into this and we experience salvation, well, then we decide that, well, I'm going to jump straight to half-court shots instead of come to know the Lord and let's just master the fundamentals. And in mastering the fundamentals, you have to master yourself. Ephesians 4, verse 13. Because we experience salvation, and this is the beginning of union and marriage with God. But some of us try to have, we try to almost have a premarital affair with the Lord. We try to skip the union in the marriage. We try to skip over the intimacy and fully knowing. And I don't just mean you fully knowing him. I mean him fully knowing you. We want to reap the benefits of the intimacy, but we don't want to have to go through the difficulty, the hard work, the vulnerability. And it's the fear that keeps us from truly accepting the gospel. Have you ever had a hard time? You don't have to raise your hand. You ever had a hard time accepting God's forgiveness? You ever have a hard time understanding, like, I don't deserve this, and I'm not really sure how to accept this grace and mercy? I don't know if you could hear that, but sounds like Naomi tried to put Farrah in the nursery. No, I'm just kidding. Couldn't hear that on the live stream. It's okay. A kid screamed in the nursery. Ephesians 4, starting in 13. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord. Pause. Our faith and knowledge of God's Son. I want you to know the gospel is surrounding God's Son. That to understand and master the gospel is to master the understanding of Jesus. That we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. You see, you ever get stuck in your faith and you keep tripping up in temptation and sin and it's kind of on this cycle of repeat and there's these things that you just are having the hardest time overcoming? Sometimes it's because somewhere in our gospel understanding, we're wrong. Our understanding of Jesus and our understanding of the gospel and our understanding of his word, we're missing something. Something's gone wrong. And so it's caused a problem later on. You ever try to put something together, build something, and you did it wrong, and then you try to take off later? Like, let's say, you know, lately I've been watching Formula One. Okay? It's racing, whatever. Okay? There's this one team, hit the pit stop, put the car together. They're so fast with that. Oh, my goodness. Well, this dude takes off and immediately, before I don't even know if he got out of the pit track and onto the track, they're like, oh, yep, tire's loose. You got to box this lap. Come back. So you got to go the whole, the tire wasn't put on right, and then they try to take off. See, if our fundamentals and the gospel is not right and not mastered and not understood fully and not experienced fully and so on, it can cause problems later on, down the line. The more we live, the more we go through this, it becomes a problem. Then we will no longer be immature like children. This is verse 14 in Ephesians 4. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Because the enticement factor of, see, I understand, I can relate. If you have a hard time reading the Bible, there's certain parts of the Bible, it's a little difficult to read. I remember as a kid, I thought, it's a book. You read from beginning to end. And as a little kid, that's not fun. Genesis was not fun, especially once you got, you know, a little further on and you get to some of the lineage pages. The son of, the son of, the son of, the son. I'm over it. I'm over it. Now I understand, you know, as I've gotten older and mature in the faith, I understand the practical genealogy aspects of this to understand where Jesus came from. It's proof. No, I'm joking. I'm not really that smart. But it became difficult to read. So it's easy to, when I experience salvation, to, well, what's the best podcast to listen to? What's the best book to buy for my faith, for new believers? What's the best? I have an answer. It's none. It's this. And see, that's the problem, though. A gospel-centered life is I read this more than anything else. And the problem in our world, in our day and age, is I run to everything else instead of this. Because this is so hard to read, and I have a hard time understanding, and I'm not really sure, and there's all these different things. And see, distractions and noise are not always bad noises or distractions. They're things that we choose other than the purest form. See, those podcasts and books, I'm not saying they're bad. I'm not saying they're inherently evil. I've written a book. I plan to write more someday. I stand up here and preach. I like the idea of these things. Just like the Chosen TV show. It's cool. Awesome. But is that what you should base your theology off of? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. You can't take somebody else's theology and place it in your own. You can't take somebody else's experience and make it your own. You can be encouraged. You can be built up. You can learn something. But it does not replace a gospel-centered life. There is only one gospel. There is only one fundamental. There is only one step one. It's not, well, there's multiple routes you can go. No, there is not. Jesus is the way. And getting in his word and getting in his gospel, that's how we get there. But it's so enticing to jump to the newest podcast. It's so enticing to listen, to read other things, to do this. And then we come to no understanding of this, of the simple form of the gospel. He won't just give himself away to you without us giving ourselves to him. Now, I'm not talking about salvation. Salvation is freely given. That is up to us to go and accept, and you know, it's not by our work that we are saved. But I'm talking about the relationship, the ongoing gospel relationship. You've heard me talk about this on a Sunday. This is where faith and works come in. Right? It is not by works that we are saved, but the ongoing relationship with God, the ongoing gospel message in our life, that requires us. And like I said, we try to have this premarital affair. I'm scared of the union. I'm scared of the intimacy. But God, I want all these other things. These other things are not just freely given without here I am. Here I am. And that's because free will, he's not going to just force himself. No, this is, I'm going to make you do this. No. It's some famous martial artist some time in history. He said, I'd rather master one kick and do it 1,000 times than do 1,000 kicks one time. 1,000 different kicks one time versus one kick 1,000 times. I'd rather the one kick 1,000 times, master it. I would rather pour over one book 1,000 times than listen to 1,000 podcasts, read 1,000 books, and try to gain understanding through somebody else's understanding and words. Now, it doesn't mean there's not a place for that. I'm not saying throw out every book and podcast and so on, but it does not replace. It cannot replace this. Just like plant-based meat can't replace meat.
Sorry, I just throw that in there real quick.
God bless beef. Because, see, in 2 Timothy tells us, all Scripture is inspired. This is 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Like I said, if you're trying to do something later on and it keeps getting messed up and it's not just sin issues, but it's also trying to carry out, disciple, try to share the gospel, try to witness, you're trying to do good work, but you don't have an understanding or a mastery of the gospel, it's going to be real difficult. It's going to be hard. It's going to be scary. The Holy Spirit has come to guide us through this in our faith and through the gospel. Like I said, too much distraction, too much noise, like I said, not all inherently evil, will block that. We got to focus on the gospel and master it. Like I said, it's one of the reasons why we can't share in the gospel. It becomes difficult to share in the gospel. Mark 16, verse 15. And then he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. It's the gospel message. It's what we're supposed to take with us. It's what we're supposed to share with people. Now, if I don't know it and I don't understand it and I don't experience it and I don't, how am I supposed to take and give what I don't have? This is not a credit card faith, okay? We can't pay for things without actually having the money, which I wouldn't necessarily recommend anyway, but what keeps us from the gospel? It's uncomfortable. It is. The gospel is uncomfortable. It seems nice because we talk about forgiveness, love, grace, and mercy, but like I said, you ever have a hard time accepting that? It becomes uncomfortable because the thing that we've been idolizing, the thing that we've been allowing to take control, the thing that we've been giving all the power to, now becomes denied. The gospel is the light, and it can't be, like, darkness and light can't go together, right? Scripture tells us that. So to accept the gospel and experience the gospel, we have to deny ourselves. That's why I said to master the gospel, you have to master yourself. So it's uncomfortable. Our flesh gets uncomfortable. And in the world we live in, whether it be by choice or secondhand inhalation, we've gotten this message of ourself is God. Myself is my God. I serve myself. Our impulses, our urges, we just give way to those things. And this is the pattern and the reaction and the habits we've built up living in the world we live in, especially in America. I'm not here to bash America. I'm just saying. It's true. Comfort, giving in to everything. So it becomes uncomfortable the moment we go to the gospel and we see that we have to deny those things. We have to deny ourselves. There's fear. There's no discipline. That's why the gospel's hard. Because of the culture and society and the way we've built up our lives, there's no discipline. You know, survival of the fittest, whoever invented it, I'm not getting into all that and whatever, and who discovered it, I believe kind of it's the way the earth was kind of formed. But we've made it easy for that. We've made it so everybody can survive. It's why there's grocery stores. You don't have to hunt for your food. Right? I mean, we've eliminated the difficulty. We've eliminated the hardship. Because if we had to hunt for our food, a lot of you would be knocking on your friend's door. Yeah, we'd be thinner. Yeah, that's, you know. Yeah, it'd look a lot different. But see, through our culture and through time, and I'm not saying all this is bad and evil, but I'm saying it's bled over into the spiritual. It's bled over into our faith. It's bled over in all this. We allow everybody else to do the work for us. There's a lack of control over oneself. It's why the gospel's so hard. We don't like digging deep for fear of what is in the depth in ourselves. We can fear what the gospel is, the overwhelming forgiveness that we feel we don't deserve in the form of grace, because to accept this grace, we must deny ourselves. And this part of ourselves has been the center stage for far too long. It becomes difficult to change the headliner of a show the longer they are there. We in our culture idolize self, and we have by purpose or by secondhand inhalation, have taken on ourselves as an idol. This is why we cannot deny ourselves even when offered this grace. We try to accept it, but to accept it, we must experience the Holy Spirit becoming the leader and us the follower. But for far too long, we've been following ourselves. You know what? The hardest part of all that is when you blend that with Christianity, because then we give ourselves the excuse of, well, I do read a little bit, I do go to church, so following myself now must be holy. And we combine the self-idolization with the Christianity part, and now it becomes that much harder to deny ourselves. Because we think, because we're Christian, that now our actions become holy. That who we are in our decision making, that, oh my word, this is it. And that's not, it's not the case. How many of you have been saved before? How many of you sinned after you got saved? Does that mean all your actions were holy? No. So it doesn't mean, it still means I must deny myself. Even when I've become a Christian, even when I've seeking the faith, even when I'm going into the gospel, even when I'm, all of this is denying the flesh. It's the hard stuff. We can lack the patience to train. We hear the gospel, we get in the word. Well, immediately I'm going to jump out there and I'm going to be good at something. How many of you, I'm not being sexist, but I feel like this applies to a lot of men because I have this. You ever watch a show or a movie? There's an action scene in it. They do the, you know, they're like doing the whole thing, beat up five guys in one room. And then immediately you go somewhere like Walmart and you look around and you're like, I could do it. Haven't trained a day in your life. You got winded going up the stairs to leave, and you think that you can do it. Guilty. Guilty. That's me. Maybe not every guy can do that, but I feel like I have a gifting. I can watch something and repeat it pretty well. Like I said, I feel like this applies mostly to guys. Maybe it applies to women just in a different way. I don't know. it's even, okay, you know what? In a more safer comparison, I do this with food a lot. I watch a video of some chef doing something. I'm like, I could do that. 3 third-degree burns later, and safe to say, I can't do that. But it's true. It's just this thing that I, this feeling that I have that I can just watch. No training. I read that scripture verse. That means I'm safe to walk. Instead of meditating on that verse, reminding myself that verse, going through life and training it. You know, good buddy of mine, he's in the military, Vince back there. If I could ask him a question, I'm not, you know, don't answer it, but I'm saying if I was to sit down with him and be like, hey, so the military trains a lot. We spend a lot of military training. You trained a lot. Did you go deployed, saw action time without any equipment? No. You still had equipment even though you were trained. Then how come we read a verse and we don't put on the armor of God thinking we're safe? How come we read one verse and think, I understand the gospel, I can go through life? I don't know what accent we decided to go with there, but it just happened. I blame my mom for that one. I don't know. I don't know what that was. But it got your attention, okay? We go through life and we're doing this whole thing. Read one verse, I'm safe. I understand it. I totally understand it. I went to church Christmas Eve. I'm set for the year. I read this new book. I have a total, it's like I have a doctorate in the Holy Spirit. Yet you haven't read Acts one time. You read somebody else's book. That's not how it works. There's training. That verse that talks about I beat my body, I make it my slave. That's what we're talking about. Go through hardship. Go through these difficult things. You know, I think of Usain Bolt. He has a really interesting quote that came out not that long ago. And he talks about his training. I mean, he trained for years, since he was young. If you don't know who Usain Bolt is, he was the fastest man in the world. I don't know, does he still hold the record? I don't know, I'm not 100% sure. But fastest man in the world. Unbelievable. He trained for years and years and years. Discipline. I'm not going out. Lack of friends. Lack of relationships. Lack of fast food. Oh, lack of all that. He disciplined his body, and he talks about this, and he says, all for 10 seconds. He did all that just for a 10-second race. You know how much training we go through? You know how much discipline it takes? How much the gospel we need to spend all of our time in? For that 10 seconds of temptation? Because it's in that temptation where it's decided. And if all I did was read that one verse, I'm good. 10 seconds of temptation comes up, and oh boy, oh boy. You ever sit in cold water for a long time? Ice bath, cold plunge, cold shower? Baptismal, the one year that the heater was broke. Yeah, yeah. You ever run for quite a long distance? Now, long distance is relative, okay? It's relative. You know, now running a long distance is like half a mile for me. When I was in high school, 13 miles. Yeah, let's go. Let's do it. Yeah, okay, cool. Oh, boy. You ever be under a super heavy weight lifting? Or squat a heavy weight, or deadlift a heavy weight. You ever face a person you have conflict with? And not just go belligerent. I mean, like you maturely face someone you have conflict with. Work a long shift at a job that is less than desirable. I remember I had a little scrubby brush. Some people are laughing because they know the story. And I was scrubbing soda nozzles from like the fast food nozzle thing. You know, you unscrew those and you scrub them. And I was sitting there scrubbing it, and I looked outside, and I saw cars driving by, and I was like, they're living life. And I'm not going to lie, I put in my 2 weeks not long after that. I was like, what is going on? Hard things and difficult things. On the other side of those things, though, is a jailbroken person. Jailbroken. Broken out of jail. They're free. Now, these are earthly comparisons to what could be a spiritual thing. To discipline ourselves to go through hardship. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. See, we train on this earth, we train in the faith, we train in the gospel to get an understanding, like I said, for that 10 seconds of temptation. Sometimes it's even a second of temptation. You got to protect your eyes these days. But it's for a glory that'll last forever. On this earth, it's hard to understand that. Focusing on the gospel is not easy. It seems easy to accept forgiveness and love, but it really isn't because of the denying of ourselves. Because, you know, a message that was preached recently, first thought, first reaction, first impulse, wrong impulse. It's this human and fleshly side that is in us that will fight the gospel tooth and nail and wants you to skip the gospel and jump to that book. Jump to that podcast. Like I said, those things aren't inherently wrong, but it wants you to do that because then you have no foundation. And everything you try to build on top of that is going to tumble. It's going to collapse. It's the battle waged in the mind. When you're doing these hard things in the faith and in real life, when you're on that run and so on and so forth, you know what's so hard about those things and the battle going on is you're fighting yourself, right? There's the side of you that has come alive in Christ, and there's a side of you that's still alive from our flesh, carnal, evil desires. And you're trying to crucify one and support the other, but they're battling. But the problem is when you battle yourself, yourself doesn't fight fair. Yourself, this sounds really weird, but you can bear with me. We're not all schizophrenic. The self that you're battling knows every weak spot, knows every dirty trick, knows your past, knows your history, knows where you failed, and says that's where you're going to fail again. And so when you battle yourself, they just start fighting dirty because they know, oh, you're going to throw a jab right now. Haha, knew it. They fight dirty. They know. That's why it's so hard. Our flesh. They know all our weaknesses. But in our weakness, he's made strong. So there's hope for the fight. Don't give in the fight. There's part of us that will continue to fight against that forgiveness and grace and tell you you don't deserve it. There's part of you that's going to fight against you and say you can't disciple. There's going to be part that fights against you and says you're just going to sin again. But there's God, and that's exactly why we need his grace and his mercy. And the more we dive into the gospel, the more we dive into his word, the conquering happens. The conquering happens. That is the difficulty we face. It is what stands between us and the wholeness of the gospel is ourself. To master and accept it, you need to master yourself. That's why the Holy Spirit is necessary. We think about the fruits of the Spirit, right? Think about the fruits of the Spirit and self-control. That's why we need it. We need that discipline, and we need the Holy Spirit. We need Him to have that discipline. It is why before the new covenant with Jesus, there were sacrifices that repeatedly need to be made. It's because the Holy Spirit, though present, the baptism in the Holy Spirit and these things were not present per se. But now with the new covenant, then we have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and we have the giftings of the Holy Spirit, we have the fruits of the Spirit, we have all these things that come and allow us to take self-control, take captive every thought, so we can conquer ourselves, and moving forward, we can win. And we can master ourselves and the gospel. So I want to encourage you, like that first verse I shared, not to just get lost in every new teaching, every new voice, jump into this, jump into that. I just saw the other day, you know, this thing came across my timeline. It was a new prophecy for 2024. And I saw, you know, and I'm not ripping that. Prophecy's real. And being a prophet is an office to be held. But you could prophesy without being a prophet, and a prophet isn't, it's not just about prophesying. It's, like I said, an office to be held. But I remember I was reading through the prophecy, and I was like, a lot of condemnation there. I don't know. It doesn't quite sound like the Lord. And then I looked, and I was like, oh, that guy, I remember. He prophesied a whole bunch of stuff during the last election, and he was wrong on everything. So shouldn't he be dead? No, wait, that's Old Testament. Sorry. If a false prophet, they'd be killed in the Old Testament. But that's part of me thought, and when I was preparing this message, I was like, man, how easy somebody would just read the prophecy and the condemnation and the discouragement and the all this stuff coming from it. And I was like, huh. The reason why I was able to look at it and I was able to see, that doesn't line up with God's character entirely. There's little bits of it in there that's not, I don't know. Oh, it's because I know the gospel. So I don't fall for the trick. So all this, so that this year, today, tomorrow, and all of this is that just get back to the gospel. Live a gospel-centered life. It sounds weird, but maybe cut back on all the books you're reading. Maybe cut back on all the podcasts you're listening to. And just read the word. And if you have difficulty understanding it, well, the way the Lord says for us to do and go through this is through discipleship. He didn't say, oh, tune into the podcast. And discipleship, even if we don't have the answer, we know where to get the answer. So let's take them to the start line. And we don't say 3, 2, 1, go, and watch them take off. No, 3, 2, 1, let's go together. Because you might be fine not having the answer, but in discipleship, we're called to disciple and go with them. So let that be our focus, a gospel-centered life. And the things that are standing in the way of the gospel, more importantly, ourself and our flesh, let us master that by the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. And just get back to step one. Let's do the fundamentals.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.